We are holding on Gimel Amud Beis by the second Mishnah, Halacha Dalad. Mishnah says, even though we said in the previous Mishnah, now we said that if a person doesn't pay their machzah shekel in time, then the Beis Din is entitled to go and collect a mashkin from them in order to force them to pay. But we said there were only certain people that they do that to. We said Levim, Yisraelim, Gerim, freed slaves. So not Koyanim, we said, because of Daukes Shalom, because we want to treat them respectfully. And because anyway, the Koyanim, because it's going to cause fights, the Koyanim themselves argue, we do the Avodah. And you have the argument of Ben Bukhri yesterday that Koyanim anyway are Potter. But we said you don't take a mashkin from women or Avodim or Ktanim, because they're not Chayiv and Machzah Shekel anyway. So even though we don't take a mashkin from them, avolim shoklu mekablin miyadam, but if they do want to give machzah shekel, then we can accept it from them. We don't say, in other words, that then you have a problem that the korbanos tzibur are going to be brought from funds that belong to a yachid, because once they give it to the tzibur, then as long as they have to give it over to the tzibur completely, they have to not keep any ownership over that machzah shekel that they're giving. But once they do that, then fine, it can go towards the korbanos tzibur just like anybody else's. On the other hand, if a goy or a kusi gives machzah shekel in makablin mehen, then we cannot accept that from them. And now, when we say over here a kusi, now of course you have the famous machlokas all over Shas whether the kusim are geire arayas or geire emes. If we say they're geire arayas, if we say that they only became geirim in the first place because of fear of the lions that were attacking them, and therefore they never really sincerely were misgayer in the first place, well, then they're in the same category as goyim. And the possibility for you have a few different sources for the idea that goyim can't give machzah shekel and can't contribute towards the public korbanos. One of them is that the pasuk says "Dabar b'nei Yisrael" about the korbanos as korbani lachmi leishai. Anyway, so if you say the kusim are geri arayis, then they have the same problem as regular goyim, of course. And if you say that they're geri emes, but still we're gonna say soon that there's a pasuk in Ezra that shows that we don't accept such contributions from them towards the building or the upkeep of the Beis Hamikdash. So we can accept private korbanos from the goyim, as we're going to say further in the Gemara, but we don't want to accept from them towards the upkeep of the Beis Hamikdash. The ein makablin miyadam kinei zavim v'kinei zavis. And by the way, the Mishnah also mentions you can't accept from them birds that they would bring for a zav or a zava. Now, the Gemara is going to explain, we're talking specifically about kosim, because goyim, the whole concept of zav and zava, isn't shayach to them. They don't have the halachas of tumah v'tahara anyway. Rabbanan, we say that all goyim, all male goyim are considered zavim, and all female goyim are considered like zavos. But that's as far as the dinim of tumah v'tahara, in order that Jews don't get over-friendly with them. In particular, for example, the Gemara tells us in Shabbos, the Chachamim made that, I don't think all the women are Zava. The Kusi women are Zavas Derabanan because of an issue that the Gemara mentions in Nida, that they miscount, they do try to keep the halachas of Nida, but they miscount when a woman becomes Tahar from Nida. So therefore we say that they're all considered Nidus and their husbands are Boyle Nidus. As far as the men, there's no particular Gzera on kusim that they're like zavim, I don't think, but there is on goyim, the Gemara mentions in Shabbos, because you don't want that Jewish children should get involved with them and end up doing mishkav zachar. So now goyim are not shayach to the halachas of ziva at all, only to this extent that the rabbanon they're considered. So obviously they're not bringing such korbanos. But we mean even kusim. Even the kusim who keep certain mitzvahs and who are living among Jews and then behaving in some ways like Jews, we don't allow them to bring these kinei zavim, the kinei zavis, the kinei yodis, or birds that they bring after a woman gives birth, v'chatois v'ashamois, or to bring a chatas or an asham. They are allowed to bring nedarim and nedavos. The Gemara, the Tiklun Chatat brings from Gemaras elsewhere that say when the pasuk says ish ish. In connection with bringing korbanos in Parshas Emor, ish ish ki yakruv korban l'chol nedreim, then it means that goyim can also be giving nedorim or nedavis, but not these kinds of korbanos that are obligatory on a person. So those they can't bring. Zaklal, the general rule is like this: kol shenidav and nidav mekablin miyadon, any kind of korban that could be given by neder and nedava completely voluntarily. Neder is where he says harei olai, I obligate myself to bring the korban. Nedava is where he says harei zu, this animal should be a korban. So you can bring an ola or a shlomim, for example. So those kinds of things, mekablin miyadon, we can accept from goyim or from kosim. But if they don't, if it's not something that's brought by neder and adava, so for example, these korbanos of zavim, or women who gave birth, or whatever, which for a yid, those would be obligatory korbanos, and we can't accept such korbanos from them. V'chein mefurash al yidei Ezra, and thus we find, it says explicitly by Ezra, Shenema, you have, it talks over there about the Kusim, where when they're coming to build the second Beis HaMikdash, the Kusim who were living in Eretz Yisrael offered their help, whether they were offering it sincerely or whether they were trying to undermine the work from the inside, the Pasuk doesn't say one way or the other. In any case, the Pasuk says that Zerubbabel told them, Lo lachem v'lanu livnes bayis lelekenu. It's not for you and us to join together to build the house for Hashem, for Hashem, only for us. Now, so the thing is, in particular, so this has to do particularly with the Machzah Shekel. We're going to say, the point is, we're going to learn later on in the Masechta that the Machzah Shekel, besides that it was used for building, besides that it was used for bringing the korban, for buying animals and menachos and whatever for the korbanos, also leftover money from it was used for the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash and for the upkeep of certain parts of Yerushalayim, the wall and the water channel and whatever. So therefore, so that's all included. Therefore, that they can't join in building the house for Hashem. If they give Machzah Shekel, then their money can end up going towards repairing the Beis HaMikdash, and we don't want that. So even if we say that Kusim Agere Emes, we still don't allow it. Of course, if a Kusi were to want to become a full-fledged yid and give up his Kusi beliefs and whatever, then fine, we'd accept them same as we would any other Geir Pashtos. But we're talking about as long as they retain their lifestyle and their beliefs and their version of Yiddishkeit and whatever, then we can't. The next piece of the Mishnah, is going to talk about a concept called kolboin. So it's like this: you're giving the Machzah Shekel, which is the Machzah Shekel is just that, a half shekel. But now you have for a couple of different reasons that Rishonim give, and the Gemara is going to discuss some of it as well. You have to give an extra little kolboin, a surcharge. The word kolboin, Korban Eidah says, is related to the word kal, which means light. Tiklan Chadatin says that it's in particular kal bain, the light thing in between, because it has to do, one of the explanations for it is it has to do with the fee for changing one coin into another type of coin. I saw something also somebody pointed out, it points out in the Oroch HaShalom that the word in Greek, the word kolabon, which means a small coin, so it could come from that. Whatever the case, the point is, there's cases, in many cases, when you're giving Machzah Shekel, you also have to add a kolbon. What they do with the kolbonus, we're going to learn at the end of the perek, a couple of different opinions in the Gemara, but in any case, you have to give it. So now the Mishnah is going to describe various cases where you have to give the kolbon and cases where you don't have to. Now, what's the reason behind the kolbon? A couple of different approaches among the Rishonim and then among the Mephoshim over here on the Gemara. One idea of it, Rashi mentions in a few places in Shas, because coins are not always exactly the same weight. Yeah, a coin is supposed to be a half a shekel weight, but inevitably it might be a little bit less. They might have struck it badly in the first place. It might be worn down. So therefore, you need the kolbon in order to bring it up to a full weight. In one place, also Rashi mentions the point that because Machzah Shekel coins are small, then they're easily lost. So therefore, so Hekdesh may end up losing out from the fact somebody gave their Machzah Shekel and then it slipped out and got lost on the way. Therefore, you have this kolbon to help kind of make up for that. That's one idea of it. Another idea of it that Rambam explains is this time of year, when people are giving Machzah Shekel, then half shekel coins are in very high demand. So therefore, that temporarily pushes up the price of half shekel coins. In effect, what happens is two matzah shekels at that point are worth more than one full sela. By the way, in Gemara terminology, a sela is what the Torah calls a shekel. And a shekel, in Gemara terminology, the word shekel means what we think of as a half a shekel. But for them, it was a half a sela coin. That's the amount you have to give. But the point is, this time of year, because everybody has to give shekel coins, a half a sela, a half a shekel, then therefore that pushes up the price of those coins, and therefore the kolbon helps make up for that. Another point is also that when you're exchanging coins, or in general, when you go to a money changer and you exchange one coin for another, then you need to pay the money changer a fee. So here also, for example, if you're giving a sela coin, which contains two half shekels, and you're giving it, let's say two people are giving it together, or let's say, for example, you're giving smaller coins, you're giving, let's say, two dinarim together to make up a half shekel, or you're giving prutas or whatever, and ultimately that has to be converted into half shekel coins, then the money changer has to be paid for his service, and that would be the kolbon. So those are various reasons why you have to give a kolbon. So now we're going to talk about who is chayev in it and who is not. Mishnah says, the following people, when they give the machzah shekel, are chayev to give the kolbon as well. And at the end of the Mishnah, by the way, we're going to learn how much the surcharge is. So who's chayev in it? Levim v'Yisraelim. So Levim and Yisraelim, who we said two Mishnayos ago, who we said in the previous Mishnah rather, are chayev in machzah shekel, even to the extent that we take a mashkin from them. So they have to give the kolbon as well. V'gerim v'avodim v'shechrorim, also gerim and freed slaves. Avaloi koinim v'noshim v'avodim k'tanim, not koinim. And not koyanim and women and slaves and children. So the women and slaves and children are anyway potter, we said. We don't take a mashkin from them in the first place. So therefore we can't require them to bring the kolbon. As far as the koyanim, so one possibility is this Mishnah might be like Ben Bukhri that says that koyanim b'chlal are potter. So then if they're potter, then there's no reason to charge them the kolbon. The other possibility is it could be according to the Chachamim as well. Fine, the Chachamim, Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, said the koyanim are chayiv and machzah shekel. But again, we said, mipnei darkei shalom, we're not going to force them to bring it. We're not going to take a mashkin from them. So the same way, mitzad darkei shalom, we're not going to force them to pay this extra surcharge. Okay, continues the Mishnah. Hashokalai de koyin. What if a person is another person, a regular yid, is giving machzah shekel on behalf of a koyin, al yidei ha'isha, or on behalf of a woman, al yidei eved, al yidei katan, then he's potter. Now, Korban Eda explains we're talking about over here where he lent them the money. If he didn't actually lend them the money, if he actually gave it as a gift on their behalf, then it wouldn't even matter the fact that they're potter. Just the fact that he did it on somebody else's behalf would be reason to potter him. But here we're talking about, so Korban Eder explains that we're talking about where he lent them the money and they're going to pay him back. Nevertheless, because they themselves are a cotton or an isha or whatever, then therefore he's potter. Tiklan Chadatin gives a different explanation. We're talking about that he gave one full sela, intending for himself as well as a koyan, or himself as well as a woman, and so forth. Then we're saying, even though he by himself would have had to pay a kolbon, so he's chayev. So he's chayev for his own kolbon, because half of that sela coin is going for his machzah shekel. So that part he'd be chayev for, but the part that he's doing on behalf of the koyan or the woman, etc., he'd be potter. Because after all, again, they themselves are potter. They're only giving as midas chassidus. So like this, when he's giving a full sela coin on their behalf, yes, the money changer is going to have to exchange it into half shekel coins. But on the other hand, but you can't be mechayev the koyan or the woman. So therefore, he's potter from a kolbon for that part, and he's only chayev for a kolbon for his part. Now, on the other hand, what if it wasn't a koyan or an eved, etc.? What if the other person that he was giving the machzah, what if the other person that he was giving together with is a regular yid? So, for example, again, the Korban Eda says we're talking that he lent him the money. So now what he's doing is he's saying, you don't have a half shekel coin right now, whether because you can't afford it or because you're out of small change. So I will lend you a half a shekel, and I myself have to give machzah shekel as well. So I'll take a full sela coin and give it to the money changers, and that will be for the both of us. So then, So then chayev kolban echad. So then it's chayev kolban echad. So then he's chayev one kolban. So then he's chayev one kolban because so again, the various reasons that we gave over the, that we gave for a kolban is he only needs to give for himself, not for the kolban that he gave for the other person. Reb Meir says in that case he's going to be chayev two kolbanis because Reb Meir holds that any time you give machzah shekel, you're chayev in a kolban. So therefore, the two of them gave machzah shekel. Therefore, they're each going to be chayev. Therefore, we need two of them. That's according to Tiklan. That was according to Korban Eider. According to Tiklan Chadatin, the vote is that. If a person is giving together with somebody else a full seller, then we're saying each person would have had to give a machzah shekel. So therefore they give one kolbon to take care of the money changer's fee. And Reb Meir, for reasons that we're going to say in the Gemara, is going to say that you have to give two kolbonis in that case. Okay. Another case, hanoisin seller v'noitel shekel. If a person gives the money changer a seller coin and he gets back change. He gets back change of a shekel, chayev shnei kolbonis, then he's chayev two kolbonis. And we'll see in the Gemara in particular whether that means that, whether that's specifically according to Reb Meir or whether that's even according to the Chachamim. Maybe even the Chachamim would say that because of a year he's getting change, then therefore maybe he needs to pay an extra fee. Okay. Continues the Mishnah, Hashokel al Yad Oni. If a person is giving machzah shekel for a poor person, and again, according to Korban Eider, we're talking about that he lent him the money, which was before. Here we're talking about where he actually is giving him the money as a gift, and giving machzah shekel on his behalf. So if he's doing that for a poor person, Val Yad Shcheino, or for his neighbor, Val Yad Ben Iro, or for somebody from his town, Potter. So then he's Potter from a kolbon for that, because as it is, Hektish is anyway getting something that they otherwise wouldn't have, because the other guy wouldn't necessarily have been able to afford the machzah shekel, and Hektish would have had, would they might not have been able to get from him at all. They might have had to take a mashkin from him. So like this, you're sort of doing them a favor by giving machzah shekel on the other person's behalf. Therefore, we're not going to charge you the kolbon. So the imhilvan chayev, but if he lent them money, then he's chayev. Because then he lent. He's not really doing Hektish such a favor, because after all, he's going to get back what he lent. So then he's still chayev in a kolbon. Another case, ha'achin ha'shutfin. Suppose you have brothers who are partners, which means they have brothers. They divided up their father's inheritance. Then they remake a partnership. Then they decide to join back together in a partnership with the inheritance that they got. So shechayovin b'kolbon, if in certain cases they're chayev in a kolbon, and then when that happens, p'turin m'maisa behema, then they will be potter from maisa behema. So the case would be, when are they chayev in a kolbon, is when they divided up the inheritance. So then each one is chayev in machzah shekel for himself, therefore they're chayev in kolbon. On the other hand, in that case, they're potter from maisa behema, because animals that belong to a partnership, the Gemara explains for us in Bechoris, animals that were bought by a partnership are potter from maisa behema. The Rivivan brings over here from the Gemara in Bechoris that discusses this point. On the other hand, in a case where they're chayev and maisa behema, which is a case where they never split up the inheritance in the first place, they just continue to run it as their father's estate. So then they're chayev and maisa behema, because then it's still considered that the animals belong to one person, their father. Well, then p'turin mina kolbon, then they're potter from kolbon, because then in effect it's as if their father is giving machzah shekel on their behalf. And we said before that if you give machzah shekel on somebody else's behalf, then you're potter from kolbon. So that's why you have that distinction. That's why you have one way versus the other. The Rambam actually has a girsa and understands that we have two different cases: ha'achim, brothers, as well as ha'shutfin, partners. But the Ravid, so not ha'achim ha'shutfin, but rather ha'achim ve'ha'shutfin. The Ravid asks on the Rambam that no, it doesn't seem to fit with the various Gemaras that talk about this. Okay. The Mishnah finishes off a kamahu kolbon. What is the actual amount of the kolbon, of the surcharge? Ma'a kesef divi Reb Meir. Reb Meir says it's one silver ma'a. Now, there are six ma'is in a dinar, and there are two dinarim in a machzah shekel. So it means, according to Reb Meir, the surcharge, the kolbon, is 1/12 of the machzah shekel. The chum say half of that. So then according to them, it would be 1/24 of the matzah shekel. So to put it in modern terms, if we thought of a matzah shekel as being 50 cents, then according to the mayor, the kolbon is about 4 cents. And according to the chum, it would be about 2 cents. So the Gemara starts off. Alpha Pisha Amru Fulo. Now we said that we don't take a mashkin from women or slaves or children. Halit boya ein tovin. So that implies not only that we don't take a mashkin. Now what we're saying now, the Mishnah is not just saying that we don't take a mashkin. The Mishnah is saying if they give the machzah shekel, we accept it from them. Which implies if they don't give the machzah shekel on their own, we don't even ask them for it. So halit boya ein tovin. So implying we don't even ask them for it. If they voluntarily on their own want to give it, then gezun dehayit, we accept it. The problem with that is that contradicts the previous Mishnah. Hocha at omer tovin, v'hocha at omer ein tovin. Here we're saying that you're in the previous Mishnah we said that we're not teveya them, that we don't demand that we don't demand. Or in the previous Mishnah we implied that we demand it from them. We just don't take a mashkin. On the other hand, our Mishnah is implying that you don't demand it at all. So which is it? So the answer is, like we had in the Gemara yesterday, a canvas, a heavy base Cyrus, canvas, a heavy base Cyrus, one's talking about the child, we're focusing mainly on the child, where he has shtei Cyrus, then at that point, we tell him, you do need to give machzah shekel. However, if he doesn't until 20 years old, then we don't force the issue by taking a mashkin. Of a kanshla, heavy base Cyrus, whereas our Mishnah is talking about where he doesn't even have shtei Cyrus, then we bechlal don't demand it from him, and then we just, if he wants to give it on his own, then fine, he can give it on his own, but we don't force the issue. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Hanochri v'akosi v'chola, we said that a goy or a kosi, if they want to give machzah shekel, we don't accept it from them. And then we said that there were various korbanos that we don't accept from them. So Amar Abba or Abiva, Abba, by the way, is Rab Abba in the Bavli. In the Yerushalmi, we often have alephs are left out. So Rab Abba becomes Rab Ba. We're going to have an example further down on the Amud also, for example, where Rab Elazar becomes Lazar. So you have in a couple of lines, actually, we're going to have that. So it's a very common thing in the Yerushalmi. Anyway, so Rabba or Abiva says, Tifter, Commander Amun, Kusi Kenochri. It seems we have to understand that our Mishnah is going according to the opinion that Kusim are considered like full-fledged Goyim. The Ispalgun, which in fact we know there's a machlokas about that elsewhere in Shas. Kusi Kenochri Divir Rebbe. Rebbe says that a Kusi is considered like a Goy for all purposes. Reb Shimon Gamliel, Kusi Kisrael L'Chodover. Reb Shimon Gamliel says a Kusi is considered like a Yid for all purposes. For example, we learned in Psachim about a case involving matzah kusi. If a kusi bakes matzah, are we allowed to eat it for the mitzvah of matzah on Pesach? We know that matzah has to be made l'shem matzah mitzvah. A goy doesn't have the ability to do it l'shma, because the goy does it based on his own understanding. So therefore, matzah baked by a goy would be possible for the mitzvah, but matzah baked by a kusi, according to Reb Shimon Gamliel, would be fine. So very, 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 very negay Asman Grama right now. Well, right now we don't have kusim among us, but the idea of matzah kusi. Anyway, the point is Reb Shimon Gamliel holds that they're like Jews. It seems that our Mishnah is only according to Rebbe, because of Reb Shimon Gamliel. Why would Reb Shimon Gamliel be saying that you can't take matzah shekel or these various korbanos from kusim if he holds that they're considered like Jews? So the answer is Omar Abulazar. So Abulazar says not like Rabbah, who says that we're talking according to the opinion that kusim are like Jews. No, masnisin benachrim haba kusim loy. No, our Mishnah, when it says about not accepting machzah shekel or not accepting korbanos from them, is talking specifically about goyim. It's not talking about kusim. Rabbah Lazar, the Amora, that is, says that no. The Chachamim, Reb Shimon Gamliel would say that in fact the Reisha of the Mishnah about Shkolim, sure, we have the Pasuk in Ezra that says Loy Lachem Balanu. So when it comes to Machzah Shekel, there's a special thing, we're not allowed to accept it from Kosim. But the end of the Mishnah is talking about Goyim. When it says that you can't accept from them Kinei Zavim, Kinei Zavis, etc., is talking specifically about Goyim. So even Reb Shimon Gamliel would agree to that. So yes, our Mishnah could go even according to the Shimon Gamliel. The Reisha, he would say, is a special case, even though he holds that Kusim are like Yisraelim, nevertheless, they can't bring Matzah Shekel, because again, some of it is used for the upkeep of the Beis Mikdash, and we don't allow Kusim to contribute to that. But Karbonis don't go to the upkeep of the Beis Mikdash. Therefore, Reb Shimon Gamliel, who holds that they're like Jews, would have no problem with them bringing Kinei Zavim and Kinei Zavis and so forth. And Vitoni Kane. And in fact, continues Rabbi Lazar, we have a Braisa that supports that idea. A Braisa says, when the Pasuk says, Adam ki yakriv mikem, last week's parasha, Adam l'rabbis sagerim, the word Adam comes to include that gerim are able to bring karbonis, and after all, according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, kosim are gerim emes. Mikem lahoitzias and mumrim, and okay, the word mikem means to exclude a mumer, comes to exclude a Jew who went and started worshipping Avodah Zarah, that he can't bring karbonis. So therefore, so kusim therefore are considered like any Jews, and therefore they're able to bring korbanos. Actually, the korban Ada asks. So if we say if even goyim are allowed to bring certain korbanos, if even goyim are allowed to bring korbanos to dava, then why anyway do we need a posik bechlal to tell us that gerim are allowed to bring korbanos? Gerim are surely no worse than nochrim. So he says the vote is that we need something to be marbe, a certain kind of yid, namely a ger, in order to then be able to have the miut from mikem to be mumrim. In other words, what we mean is, in other words, that when it comes to Jews, we make that distinction. If the person is a mumer, he can't bring a korban. If he's not a mumer, he could. As opposed to within goyim, there's no distinction. When we say Adam ki yakriv mikem, and the word Adam means goyim, doesn't matter whether at one point you might have, for example, a goy who decided to accept Shev Mitzvahs Bnei Noach and later on changed his mind and decided to go back to worshiping Avodah Zarah. Let's say the scenario is Beis Din has no power over him to be able to force him or be able to give him to be mechayev and misa for that. So then, nevertheless, we're able to accept a korban from him, but not among gerim and not among born Jews if they become a mumer. Okay. So that's the vote. According to Reb Shimon Gamliel, we would say that a kusi can't bring machzor shekel, but he could bring other korbanos. Because after all, the kusim are gerims. So the Gemara points out, masnisin pliga al Rabbi Lazar. Our Mishnah seems to contradict what Rabbi Lazar is saying. Now, I mean, the word masnisin pliga literally means the Mishnah is arguing, but it doesn't mean that the Mishnah is contradicting Rabbi Lazar, because then it would mean we slugged up Rabbi Lazar and we can't. Rabbi Lazar is an amoda. What it means, this is the Yoshalmi's way of introducing, like in the Bavli, you would have, after Rabbi Lazar said that, in the Bavli, the Lashon Rimesi, And we would quote the Mishnah, in the Yerushalmi, the Lashon is Masnisa Pliga al Rabbi Lazar. The Mishnah seems to contradict Rabbi Lazar. And then we're going to show how we can answer it. The Mishnah said, Ein Makablin Miyadim, Kinei Zavim Vezavas, Kinei Yodas. The Mishnah says, you can't accept from them birds for a Zav or a Zava, or for a woman who gave birth. So obviously that part has to be talking about Kusim. V'chiyash Kinei Zavim Vezavas Benachrim. Goyim don't bring Kinei Zavim Vezavas in the first place. So evidently, you're going to have to say, according to Rabbi Lazar, that does that mean you're going to have to say that the beginning of the Mishnah is talking about Goyim, and then the Sefer is talking about Kusim. You're going to say that the Mishnah is saying that you can't take Machzor Shekel from a Goy or from a Kusi, and then it's going to continue by talking only about Kusim and saying that that they're the ones who can't bring Kinei Zavos and so forth. And the answer is Vakani Kane. Yeah, that's how we have to say it. Yeah, that's exactly what we're going to have to say. When we say, so we say, in other words, that so neither a Nochri nor a Kusi is able to to bring Machzor Shekel. But then we continue according to Rebbe, also a kusi wouldn't be able to bring kinei zavim and zavis and so forth. Whereas Rabbi Shimon Gamliel would disagree with that part and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel would say that the end of the Mishnah is talking. It's saying that goyim can't bring them, which fine, goyim are not shayach to, but kusim actually could bring them. So you have to say that one part of the Mishnah is talking about Kusim, and the other part is talking about Noch. Okay, so let it be so. Okay, Amar Rabbi Yechanan. So now Rabbi Yochanan says, this that we're talking about, accepting things from the Goyim or from the Kusim. So Rabbi Yochanan says, B'tchila, at the beginning, meaning when they're first starting to build the Beis Hamikdash, Ein Mekabim Lehem Lo Dover Mesuyam V'Lo Dover She'Ein Mesuyam. You're not allowed to accept from them anything that whether a defined item, something that's defined and you can notice it later on in the finished building, or something that's not mesuyam, something that's not noticeable. So for example, dava mesuyam would be, for example, they donated a particular stone to the Beis Hamikdash, or the Bavli in Erechin has the same sugya, and there it says that an example of a dava mesuyam would be the amakalya oriv. You had on top of the heichel, you had iron spikes or iron or sharp or sharp-edged iron sheets or iron nails, or there's different opinions exactly what it was, but the point is it was meant to scare away birds. It was meant to prevent birds from landing on the heichel, because then you'd have birds of prey, like crows, would land over there and they'd drop off pieces of meat that they were carrying, which are tummy. So in order to avoid that, they have the kalya odev over there. So let's say a dover mesuyam would be that kalya odev. You're not allowed. So at the beginning, we're saying you're not allowed to accept from the goyim or from the kusim a dover mesuyam, a defined object like that, or even a dover she'ena mesuyam. Let's say they want to donate money. You're not going to see the money in the finished product of the Beis Hamikdash. Still not. Over seif, but at the end, after the Beis Hamikdash is built, mekablam mehem davar she'ena mesuyam, ve'en mekablam mehem davar mesuyam. You're allowed to accept from them something that's ena mesuyam. So, for example, if a goy wants to donate money, or for example, Korban Eder brings an example. Let's say he wants to give water or salt towards the Beis Hamikdash, for example. So that you could accept. It's not going to be noticeable in the finished building. Ve'en mekablam mehem davar mesuyam, you still wouldn't be allowed to accept from them a davar mesuyam, for example, a stone or the kalya odev or whatever. Tiklan Chadatin brings a couple of reasons why. So first of all, the distinction Rabbi Yochanan is making between the beginning of the building and the end of it is because at the beginning, they may be trying to weaken, they may be trying to discourage the people from building altogether. In the case with Ezra and in the case with Zerubbabel, with the Kusim, the Pasuk actually says, after Zerubbabel told them, no, you're not helping us to build, then the Pasuk says they started trying to disturb and trying to harass the Jewish people from working. And eventually they sent a letter to Kodesh informing on the Jews and getting the work stopped that way. So at the beginning, when they're building the Beis Hamikdash, we're concerned that anything they contribute may really be for the purpose of, oh, now that we're contributing, we have a place over here in the building, and therefore they're going to undermine it from the inside, therefore we don't allow it. Once they're finished building, then there's no problem, says Rabbi Yochanan, if we accept from them salt or water or money or other things like that, because there's no building process for them to get involved and ruin. On the other hand, we still don't want them to give a davar mesuyam, because number one, it's a gnai. It would be a shameful thing that our Beis Hamikdash has to have been partially built using goyish contributions, as though we Jews can't do it ourselves. And also because then they pride themselves on it. And that's also, we don't really want the Beis Hamikdash to be a place that goyim are priding themselves on. Look, I contributed this to the Beis Hamikdash, and look, you can go by and you can see this brick or this whatever that has my name on it. So therefore, we don't want that. So that's according to Rabbi Yochanan. The Rambam, by the way, has a different definition of the Hatchila and of Batchila and of Batchila and Basayf. He says it means like Lachatchila and Bediyevet. Lachatchila, we shouldn't accept any contribution from them, but Bediyevet, if they gave it, then we can give it. Okay, so that's Rish Lakish. That was according to Rabbi Yechon. Reb Shimon Lakish Amar, Rish Lakish says, no, Bein Batchila, Bein Basayf, Ein Mekam Lehem Loi Dover Mesuyam, V'Loi Dover She'en Mesuyam. No, whether we're talking at the beginning of the building or after the building is done, b'hatchila b'di'eved, dav masuyam, not dav masuyam, we don't take anything from the goyim or the kusim towards the Beis Hamikdash, period. They want to bring korbanos, they can bring korbanos, but we can't allow them to bring anything towards bedek habayis, towards hekdesh. Okay, so the Gemara says, masnisin pligal Rabbi Yochanan. Our Mishnah seems to contradict Rabbi Yochanan, because the Mishnah said, you have an extra ain over here. Ain makablam and hektish and a double, not our Mishnah, but rather masnisa a braisa seems to contradict Rabbi Yochanan. The braisa says, ain makablam and hektish and a double a better kabais. You cannot accept from them, from the goyim, hektish nedava for the Bedek HaBayis. Now the Brice is not making any distinction between the beginning of the building while the building is going on and after it's done, or between a dava mesuyam and a dava she'ena mesuyam. So Rish Lakish would So according to Reish Lakish, that braisa is very good. But how would Rabbi Yochanan understand it? So the answer is, he would explain that we're talking, that the braisa is talking about whether batchila or besoif, if it's a dover mesuyam, because again, Rabbi Yochanan holds that you can never accept a dover mesuyam from them. So therefore, according to him, then the braisa means that the braisa doesn't specify, but we are talking about dover mesuyam, and therefore we're not allowed to accept it. Nusach Yoshin would possible be mesuyam shafil ma'osav yelichel miyam melach. That Rabbi Yechin would say that we're talking about a Dover Mesuyam, we're there. Even if he brings a Dover, we can't even convert it to cash and use that for the Beis Mikdash. We would have to take that money and throw it in the Yam HaMelech because it would be also Bahana, because it's Hekdash. And Tiklan Chadatin adds also a line in the Gemara that Rabbi Yechin could also say just as well, the Braise is talking about, the Braise is talking about a Dover Mesuyam, and then it would apply Betchila or Besoif, or the Braise is talking about Betchila and saying whether Dover Mesuyam or not. So either way, the Braise is not a contradiction to Rabbi Yechin because it's true, it doesn't specify the details, but nevertheless, we can still understand it that way. Okay. Now, we said Rav Shimon Lachish Omer, Bein Betchila, Bein Besoif, Ein Mekam Lehem Lo Dover Mesuyam. We said Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that you can't accept anything from them, Dover Mesuyam or not, at the beginning or at the end. So the Gemara points out, Masnisa Pliga out of Shimon Lachish. Or a Braisa seems to contradict Rav Shlokish. The Tani, Hakol Shoven, Chein Nodrin Nidorin. So a braisa says that the beginning of the braisa said they're not a braisa. It's actually a mishnah in Masechta Erchin. The mishnah in Erchin talks about the question of what shaychus did goyim have to Erchin. Reb Meir holds the korban eder brings the mishnah that Reb Meir says that a goy can be nerach but not marich. So Erchin we talked about the other day means that the person says hare erki olai or erich ploni olai, then he pays the amount that it specifies in the Torah for that person's age and gender. So the mayor says, you're able to say, I want to give the erich of this goy to the Bis Mikdash, and that's a valid erich, and you have to pay it. But the goy is not able to declare a vow of erichin. If the goy says, I'm pledging my own erich, or I'm pledging somebody else's erich, nothing happens. That's according to the mayor. Rabbi Yehuda says the other way around. The ger can give erichin, but he can't be the subject of an erich. And here's where we pick up in the Gemara. Hakol Shavin, both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda agree, Shein Nodrin and Nidorin, that they are able to be the subject or the object of a neder. A neder means where they say, Dmei Ploni Olai, where they say, I owe the value of this person to Hekdesh, and Dumim is different than Erchin. Erchin, you have a fixed amount depending on the person's age and gender. So for example, a man between 20 and 60 years old, the Torah tells us the Erech is always 50 Sloim, whether the person is old, whether the person is weak or strong or short or tall or whatever, always 50 Sloim, as opposed to Dumim, is the actual amount that the person would get, that the person would fetch on the marketplace if they sold him. So then, of course, that's going to differ depending on the person's age and capabilities and so on and so forth. So they both agree that a goy is able to make a neder of dmei ploni olai, and nidorin, for example, that he can say dmei atzmi olai, or somebody else says on him dmei of this goy olai, and that all that goes to Berek Abayis. So we see we accept things for Bedek Abayis from them. So how would Reish Lakish understand that? So the answer is Pasola Oila. Okay, Rabbi Reish Lakish would understand that Nodim and Nidavim does not actually mean Domim, like we just said, but to go to Bedek Abayis, we mean that a goy can be Menader or Menadev and Oila, and we can bring his Oila on his behalf. Well, it says Nicha Nodrin Oila, Nidrin Oila Loi. No, but that only works with the word noidrin, which implies he makes the neder. Fine, if a goy makes a neder, I am going to bring an oila, then fine, he can bring that oila. He may even be required to bring that oila. Whether we say that a goy is required to keep his promises is a bit of a discussion, but the point is if he wants to bring that oila, surely he could. But what would nidorin oila loy? What would be my nidorin? You're going to say that it means a yid said, I'm obligating you, goy, Mr. Goy, to bring an oila. And the guy has to bring it. Why? He's not obligated because somebody else told him to. So that doesn't work. Ella, no. What we have to say is we can be talking about Sha'oma Yisrael Harei Olai Ola. Suppose that a Yid says, I obligate to bring myself an Ola, Veshama Nochri V'Omama Sha'oma Zeolai, and then a Goy overhears that and says, what that person promised, I'm obligating on myself to bring. So that would be Nidorim. The Goy didn't spontaneously make the neder on his own, but once the Yid made the neder, then the Goy decided to contribute it on his behalf. So therefore, that's how Rish Lakish would understand this neder in Nidorim, because Rish Lakish agrees that Goyim can bring oilus, but he would say they can't bring anything for Bedek Abayis. Domim and Erchin go to Bedek Abayis. So according to him, that doesn't work. You can't accept anything from them, even if it's after the Bais Mikdash is built, and even if it's a Dover Mesuyim. Okay. Now we also say that if a goy is bringing his we're asking a question. So are you telling me, isn't it true that the question is like this? If we're saying that, fine, you have a case where a goy is bringing an oila. So you can have the case where the goy spontaneously decides to bring an oila. You can have the case where a yid says, I obligate to bring myself an oila, and to bring an oila, and the goy says, I'll bring it on your behalf. Either way, the problem is, don't you have to bring an asachim with it? Now, later on in the Masechta, we're going to learn about the concept of moiso nesachim. You have a case where there's leftover money from nesachim. We're going to learn over there on Daf Yud Aleph or so about a couple of different possibilities what moiso nesachim are. In any case, moiso nesachim loyla klei shoris inun. Don't moiso nesachim go to bringing klei shoris? So nimtzen maybe davar mesuyim. So then it comes out that it comes out then that a goy is bringing davar mesuyim. So according to Rish Lakish, that would be a problem. And in fact, the Korban Eda says the question would really even be on Rabbi Yochanan as well, because even Rabbi Yochanan agrees that a goy can't bring a Dover Mesuyim. So the answer is, Hisiv Rabbi Yossi Barabun. Rabbi Yossi Barabun gave an answer to for Rabbi Yochanan or Rish Lakish. And he says, listen, we learn in a braisa, nerchin v'orchin. After all, we had the Mishnah in Erchin that mentioned that goyim are nerochin v'orchin. We said that goyim are able to be, according to the mayor, you can declare the erech of a goy, and according to the Yehuda, the goy himself can declare an erech and he'll bring it to the Bais Mikdash. After all, you have to ask loy lebedek habayis, you know. And after all, don't erchin go to bedek habayis. So never mind asking from the question about an oila and the nesachim, and then you're wondering about the moisa nesachim. Ask about bechlal. How is a goy able to bring an oila, and then he's bringing the nesachim with it? Or ask about the fact that we see that a goy is able, according to one opinion, to bring an erech. According to the Yehuda, is able to bring an erech, and we accept it, even though by definition erchin go to the bedek habayis. So the answer is it's not a problem, because heich madat omer tamon, just as we say in a different context, lashamayim humiskaven, that the goy, when he's giving a present to when he's giving hektish, what it means is he just intends, he doesn't know the specifics about what's used for different things in the Bais Mikdash. This is for bedek habayis, this is for korbanos, etc. He just wants to give something, he just wants to give a present to Hashem. It's on its own that it comes for bedek habayis. In other words, or for klei shoris, it says on the side. In other words, the point is, the goy doesn't specifically intend in the first place that his contribution is going to be going to bedek habayis. We're the ones who decide that we, the gizbarim of the Bais Mikdash, decide that we need this for bedek habayis, and we do that. So therefore, that's not considered a problem. It's not a davar mesuyim, and it's not considered a problem of, even according to Rish Lakish, of it going to bedek habayis at all. Kainat omer avhocha. The same thing we can say over here with the erchin, or with the moisim nesachim. Yes, they end up going for klei shoris, but again, l'shamayim humiska. He wants to give a present to Hashem. He doesn't know specifically that it's going for an object in the Bais Mikdash, namely the Klei Shoris. So the Klei Shoris, it's on its own that it's brought to the Bedek Habayis or to Klei Shoris. So therefore, when Rish Lakish says Ein Mekablin, is only when the Goy specifically says, I want to give to Bedek Habayis, then Rish Lakish is going to say, no good. We can't accept that. But if the goy is just giving something generically to Hashem, and we decide that it goes to bedek habayis, then there's no problem with that, even according to Rish Lakish. Okay. So the question is then, Ma Ovid Lord of Shimon Rin Lakish. So now, what is Shimon Lakish? So what does he do? How does he understand the Mishnah? How does he understand the Mishnah in Erchin and the Moshe Nesachim? We're saying, so again, according to the Korban Eda, what we did, what Rabbi Yossi was doing just now by bringing this, by explaining this distinction, Rabbi Yossi Barabun, according to Korban Eda, he was explaining only according to Rabbi Yochanan. So now the question still is on Rish Lakish, and the answer is Posola. The answer is he gets, because the Posik says, Loy Lachem Balanu, living is bias, Le Lekenu. It's not for you and us together to build a house for Hashem. So therefore, Rish Lakish would say, I have no problem with clay shardis being donated by a goy anyway, or other things for the Beis Mikdash. I only have a problem with them giving, when I say they're not allowed Dava Mesuyam or Dava Shani Mesuyam, I mean specifically towards the building of the actual building, the actual physical location of the Beis Mikdash. That I'm saying neither one. But Klei Sharis, I have no problem with. Therefore, according to Rish Lakish, there's no question in the first place, because according to him, Erchin and Moshe Nesachim can go towards Klei Sharis. That's how the Korban Eda learns the question and the answer. According to Tiklin Chadatin, that we said the question was on Rish Lakish, then we're not goyis the words Ma Ovid La. We're just saying you should know where does Rav Shimon Lakish, where does he get his source that, and we can't accept anything from goyim, not Dava Masuyim, not Dava Sheni Masuyim, not at the beginning and not at the end. And according to that way of understanding it, according to Tiklin Chadatin's way of understanding it, it would mean it would also apply to clay shardis. Because after all, the pasuk says, "Loy lachem v'lonu limnes bayis elokenu." It's not for you and us to build a house for Hashem, which means poshet pshat in the pasuk. Then it doesn't matter while the house is being built; it doesn't matter after it's being built; it doesn't matter dova masuyam or not. Either way, Rish Lakish says, based on that pasuk, you can't accept it. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan would say that no, the pasuk means only during the building itself, or only a dova masuyam. Okay, so the bottom line is that we can understand both Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish's opinions, and neither of them are contradicted by a Mishnah or a Braisa. Rish Lakish would say you can't accept anything from them, Dava Masuyam or not, beginning and end or not. But we could, according to him, there's never anything from a goy that can go to Bedek Abayis or to Klei Sharis. The only thing we can do is bring korbanos on his behalf. And fine, if we have leftovers of those korbanos, then we can see what we do with them. If the goy says, "I want to give something to Bedek Abayis," then we can't. But if we have something else which he meant as part of a korban, for example, and then it winds up in Bedek Abayis, then we have no problem with that. According to Korban Eda, also he would even allow clay shardis. He just wouldn't allow bedek abayis. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, we say that we can accept from them certain things, just not a dova masuyam and not at the beginning of the building. Okay, continues the Gemara. Rav Chizkiya Amar Rav Simon Shaul. Rav Chizkiya brought the following question in the name of Rav Simon to the Beis Medrash, which again, as we learned the other day, doesn't mean that he asked the question, is this correct? He brings it to the Beis Medrash to ask, I learned this from Rav Simon. Do you, Chachamim, agree with this? So he says, Me'ata, based on the logic that we're saying, that a goy is not, that we can't accept from a goy towards Bedek HaBayis, towards maintaining and repairing the Beis Mikdash, then Ein Mekavim Lehem La'amas HaMayim, then we shouldn't either be allowed to accept from the Goyim or from the Kusim contributions towards the water channel. There were a couple of different water channels. There's one in the city of Yerushalayim, and there's another one specifically in the Beis Mikdash. So which one we're talking about, there's different possibilities. But anyway, Ulechoyma Se'iru Migdalei Seha, and also you shouldn't be allowed to accept contributions from them towards the walls of the city, towards the repair of the walls of the city of Yerushalayim, and the towers that are around the walls. Al Shem Shenema, because you have another pasuk, besides the pasuk Lo Lachem Balanu that we mentioned before, which is talking specifically about the Beis Mikdash, there's another pasuk later on in Nehemiah, where you have a couple of people, Sanvala Tacharoni and Tobiah Hevad Amoni, are harassing Nehemiah about the fact that he's trying to rebuild the walls of Yerushalayim and accusing him of rebelling against the king and so on and so forth. And Nehemiah tells him that no, we're going to strengthen ourselves and build, and Hashem will give us strength, because after all, we're his servants. As far as you have no chelek, no portion, and no tzedakah, and no remembrance in Yerushalayim. So therefore, we learn from that pasuk that we can't have a remembrance and a memorial and whatever of the goyim in Yerushalayim, and that would be there would be if they repaired if we accepted contributions from them for the Amas Hamayim, for the water channel, and for repairing the city's walls and towers. So therefore, you can't do that either, and that's the again that's what we accept. Nobody brought a contradiction on it. Next, let's turn to the next part of the Mishnah about the Kolbein. We said, Elu Chayovin B'Kol. Now, this whole part is in parenthesis because there are a lot of different Girsois over here. So let's first do the way we have it over here in front of us, and then we'll talk about some other possibilities. So Elu Chayovin B'Kolbein. So we said, the following people are Chayiv and a Kolbein, and the following people are Potter. Toni, so we learn in a Braisa. Elu Chayovin B'Kolbein Echad. These people that we're discussing over here are Chayiv in one Kolbein. Rav Meir Omer Shnei Kolbonis. Rav Meir says that there's a case where they're Chayiv two Kolbonis. For example, where he's giving on behalf of himself and somebody else. Masnissa did Rav Meir. Now, our Mishnah seems to go only according to Rav Meir. The Omer Rav Meir, Alpha Pishen Shikle Torah Kolbonai Torah. Because Rav Meir says, even if you have a person who's not Chayiv Minat Torah to give a Kolbein, for example, an Eved or an Isha or what have you, kolbonei Torah, but the requirement to give a kolbon would be minat Torah. Sovereign Rav Meir, because Rav Meir holds the Misha Shikle Shalom. On the other hand, Rav Meir would hold that if a person gives a full shekel, a full seller for two people, then shu potter ma kolbon. Then he would be potter from the kolbon. So Rav Meir usually requires you to bring a kolbon, but he would say that he would say that because you're giving, he would say that you are chayav for a kolbein. But on the other hand, if you're giving a full shekel, then Rav Meir would say you're potter from kolbein. But if you're giving a half shekel on behalf of somebody else, even if that person is themselves not chayav, then you'd be chayav in a kolbein. Again, there are different girsois over here. Korban Eda has a girsa that Rav Meir is saying. Whether we have it out of the parenthesis over here, Masnissa did a mayor. Our Mishnah seems to go only like a mayor. The Amr of Mayor, Kashem Shashikloi Torah, Kach Kolbonai Torah. Rav Meir says that always you have to give a Kolbon whenever you're Chayev, because just as you're Chayev in the Machzah Shekel, the same way you are always Chayev in Kolbon. So when we say that a person has to give a Kolbon, according to Rav Meir, that would be always across the board that he has to give a Kolbon whenever a Ben Chiyuv, whenever somebody who's Chayiv and Machzah Shekel is giving it, then he has to give a Kolbon as well. It's actually Minat Torah, it's not just Midrabanan, according to Rav Meir. So, Kosovar, a mayor, Benois and Shikle Shalom, Shu Chayiv B'Kolbon. Therefore, the mayor would hold that if a person gives a full seller, then he's Chayiv in a Kolbon. And then we said in the Mishnah that if he wants to change back of a half a seller, a shekel, then he's going to be Chayiv in two Kolbon, it says your mayor. Now, why does your mayor say that the Kolbon is Daraisa? The Amr of Mayor, the famous thing, Hashem took out something like a coin of fire from under his Kisei covered, and he showed that coin of fire to Moshe. He tells him, this is what you should give, meaning like this coin. So what does that mean? So Korban Eda explains, you think about it, therefore, so the mayor would say that the coin that you're giving from Machzah Shekel has to be like that coin of fire. It has to be pure. That coin that Hashem showed Moshe obviously was pure. The same way you'd have to give a pure coin. But coins are never pure. They always have some impurities in the silver, and because the silver by itself would be too soft to make coins out of. So therefore, for that, the mayor is saying, therefore, we have to give a kolbon to make up the difference. Another way of understanding it is, since we see, the Tikkun Chadatin says, since we see Hashem made a point of showing Moshe a matbeah shel esh, that means it can never be less than that. So now what happens is, again, coins get rubbed out, coins maybe are struck slightly smaller, so therefore the mayor is going to say you're chayiving a kolbon on a daraisa level to make sure that it's brought up to a full to a full half shekel without being missing any silver. Okay, this whole thing about Be'er Shel Esh, we know that Rebbe talked about it any number of times in Sichus in connection with Parshas and with Parshas Shkolim and Parshas Kisisa. In one place that Rebbe talks about the idea that the Be'er Shel Esh represents how you fuse together Kabbalah's oil, which is represented by the coin. Coins circulate very easily, and it's their teva too, so that represents Kabbalah's oil. And on the other hand, it's made of fire, which is Chayus. So even your avoider with Kabbalah's oil has to be infused with Chayus. You don't just say, well, it's Kabbalah's oil, I'm just doing what Hashem wants anyway, so who cares if I put my own Chayus into it? That's one angle on on it. In a different place, there's a Sikha in Chelek Lamed Aleph where the Rebbe talks about the idea that we said before. I mean, we force the person to give machzah shekel. We force them by taking a mashkin or whatever. So therefore, so that means so you have, it's like a matbeya. And the reason why that works, why does that work, that we force the yid to give it and it's still kofer nafshoy, is because there's eish, there's fire inside the yid, there's this pintel of yid that wants to do what Hashem wants. So therefore, we have to arouse that fire by taking the machzah shekel from him, and that fire of the neshama has to then become a matbeya. It has to become a coin which has weight, meaning that you poil, meaning that it doesn't just stay inside the person, it's poil on the whole rest of himself and on the whole world around. A lot of different explanations about this matbeya shalesh. Anyway, the point is, Reb Meir is saying, because the matbeya shalesh, therefore that requires us to give a kolbon, as we said, either because it means that the coin Hashem showed Moshe is pure and the coins we give are not pure, or because the coin that Hashem showed Moshe was full weight and the coins that we give are not necessarily full weight. Okay. Now, the Mishnah continued, Nosan Sela Lishkel Shekel, if the person gave the money changer a Sela, and he wants change back of a Shekel, Chayev Shnei Kolbonis, and he's Chayev Two Kolbonis. Now, who is that like? Is that like the Chachamim specifically, or is that like Reb Meir specifically, or is that like everybody? So, Omer Rav Elazar did Reb Meir. That would be specifically according to Reb Meir. Did Reb Meir Omer Echad Shekel Shor Noisin Ve'echad Sela Shor Noito? Reb Meir says, whether you're giving us a shekel or whether you're taking back change of a shekel, you need a kolbon. So therefore, in this case, he's doing both. He's giving a shekel and he's getting back, and he's giving money and he's getting back money. Therefore, he would need two kolbonis. Or outside the parenthesis, again, Agrois Agrua takes out that, or changes it, actually, that a mayor would say that whenever you're giving a shekel, then you're always minatoda, you have to give master shekel. So the Tanya, Elu Chayovin Mekolbon Chula, we learn in a Braisa. The following cases are people that are chayv in a kolbon, and we say there's a case where a person gives a seller and gets back a shekel. So we say kolbon echad. So in that case, he's chayav one kolbon. V'Rav Meir Amar Beis Kolbonis. Rav Meir says he's chayav two. So you see that in our Mishnah, when it says that he's chayav two, is only according to the Meir, the Chum would say he's chayav only one kolbon. On the other hand, continues the Gemara, Vama Rav. On the other hand, Rav says divrei hakol he. No, the part about the two kolbonis in the Mishnah would be according to everybody. Because he would say that whether you're giving or whether you're receiving a shekel, either way, in other words, it's one thing, for example, a person is giving on behalf of himself and somebody else, so both of them are giving them using it one coin, so therefore if they needed to exchange it for machzah shekels, then they're only giving one kolbon. So therefore, Hektish is not losing out anything. They're not gaining anything extra, but they're not losing either. But over here, if you wanted to get change for your Sela coin, you would have had to give a kolbon in order to get change, to pay the money changer. You would also, you also need to give a kolbon for changing the half shekel into a Sela. So the result is that you actually have to pay two kolbonis because of that. So even the Chachamim, so Rav says, even the Chachamim would agree with that. So the Gemara says, Al daita de Rav gimel kolbonis inun. So it comes out, according to Rav, that actually in a case like that, you would say, Reb Meir would say he has to give three kolbonis. You would say when the Mishnah is saying two kolbonis, that would be according to the Chachamim. One for the fact that he's giving his machzah shekel, and whenever you're giving him machzah shekel, you give a kolbon. Another one because he's getting change, and you give a kolbon with that. According to Rav's understanding of Reb Meir, if you gave a sela and you took back a shekel as change, then you'd be chayav three kolbonis. One for the fact that you're giving machzah shekel, one for the change that you're getting, and one because dvar Torah, because in general, when you give machzah shekel, then you need to add a kolbon. So the first one is because the first one is for the change that you're making. The second one is for the change that you're receiving, because the first one is you're changing a sela into a half shekel coin. The other one is you're getting back a half shekel coin. So that's the second thing. And the third, that Reb Meir holds, that whenever you give a shekel, whenever you give machzah shekel, you need a kolbon. So according to him, it comes out. According to Rav's understanding, Reb Meir would say you need three kolbonis. Okay, and in fact, the Gemara says, also Rabbi Yumiya, when Rabbi Yumiya came, he said, Rabbi Shmuel bar Yitzchak b'shem Rabbah, shloisha kolbonos inam, that according to Rabbi Meir, there are cases where you have to give three kolbonos. There are three reasons behind the kolbon, and therefore, when you have all of them together, then you need it. Echad shekel shu noisin, number one, because you're giving a shekel, and you're making change, you're exchanging a half shekel coin for a shekel. The echad shekel shu noitel, and another one, because you're receiving back a shekel for his change. The echad, the dvar toda, and the third one, because Rabbi Meir holds that the Rabbi Meir holds that the kolbon is minat toda, because of zeyitnu, like we said before. So therefore, according to him, you have to pay three kolbonos. Whereas the Chachamim would be saying you only need two kolbonos, and that's what our Mishnah says, that in that case, it gives two kolbonos. So again, according to Rabbi Lazar's understanding, Rabbi Meir would say that in that case, you give two kolbonos, and the Chachamim would say only one. And in the case, and according to Rav, Rabbi Meir would say three, and the Chachamim would say two. But again, we had in the Mishnah, this is all if you're giving only for yourself and you're getting change, but if you're giving on behalf of somebody else, so again, we said if you're giving them the money, or even with a noshim v'avodim miktanim, if you're lending it to them, then you don't pay an extra kolbon for them, because then it's voluntary that they're giving it anyway, so therefore you know they don't have to pay the kolbon. Okay. Now, we said in the Mishnah, ha'achin v'ashutfin shechayovin b'kolbon b'turim ma'isa b'hema, we said there's a case where brothers are partners and they're chayav in kolbon and potim ma'isa b'hema. That would be b'shechoku v'chozor v'nishtafu. That would be if they divided up their inheritance from their father, then they made a new partnership. So now, again, they're chayav in kolbon because each one is giving machzah shekel on his own from his own funds that are in the partnership. But on the other hand, they're potter from ma'isa b'hema because animals that are owned by a partnership are potter from ma'isa b'hema. The other way around, Shechayov and Maisa Behema Pturim and Akolban, what would be the case with a Chayv and Maisa Behema and Potter from the Kolban? Would be Vishaloi Choku if they didn't divide it up. They're still running it as if it was their father's estate. So then they're Chayv and Maisa Behema because the animals are still considered to belong to their father. And they're Potter from Kolban because as if their father is giving on their behalf. Okay. Amr Rabbi Lazar, so Rabbi Lazar says, "V'hein shachoku gdoyim k'neged tiyoshim, or tiyoshim k'neged gdoyim." Now, actually, that would only apply. Rabbi Lazar says only if when they divided things, they didn't divide it. They decided, for example, you'll get all the young goats and I'll get all the old goats. So therefore, so you can't say now when you think about it, in the inheritance, each of them is entitled equally to an equal amount of the young goats and the old goats. So if they decided, for example, that we're going to split it up, you take all the young ones, I take all the old ones, then it comes out that this isn't the original division that was envisioned when their father first passed away. So therefore, so then we would say that it's considered like they have a new partnership. But Rabbi Lazar says, if they split up, if they divided, each of us is taking some of the young animals, each of us is taking some of the old animals, then hu chelkem mishar rishona, then we consider the portion that he got now is the same portion that he was actually entitled to as soon as his father died. In other words, Rebbe Lazar is saying, yesh breira. This is the concept of breira that we have all over Shas, about when we say something was done in the end, does it mean that retroactively it was that way all along? Rebbe Lazar says yes. So therefore, according to him, then if they, in that case, we say yesh breira, each of them to begin with owns some of the goats, some of the young goats, each of them to begin with owned some of the old goats. Now they also do. So therefore, even if they did, even if they made a partnership again, it wouldn't matter and they'd still be chayv and ma'isa b'hema. Amar Rabbi Yechanan, but Rabbi Yechanan says no. Afilu chok gdoyim k'neged gdoyim or tiyashim k'neged tiyashim. Even if they said, you take some of the young animals, I'll take some of the old young ones. You take some of the old ones, I'll take some of the old ones. Nevertheless, Rabbi Yechanan holds kilakucha saying they'd still be considering like they bought the animals because Rabbi Yechanan says ein brera. We don't assume that what they got now are the original animals that they were entitled to begin with. So it's considered like they bought it. Uptumin amaiser and they're potter from maiser kahidu tanein and tamon. As we learn in the Mishnah in Bechoris halakuach v'shenita lematana, an animal that was bought that you bought or an animal that you were given as a present, potter from Maisa Behema, then it's potter from Maisa Behema. So according to Rabbi Yechanan, in other words, nothing to do with the fact that they inherited it, and therefore now, and with the fact that they made a partnership, and animals that belong to a partnership is possible. It's considered as though they bought those animals from each other, and therefore for that reason, they're potter from Maisa Behema, because an animal that you bought is potter from Maisa Behema. As opposed to if they're still running the house jointly, then it's still chayv and ma'aseh behema because it's considered that it belongs to their father. Okay. So we'll continue that tomorrow, Bez Hashem, with other cases when we might have cases when they're chayev in both Kolban and Maisa Behema, and when there are cases where they might be potter from both. And then we'll talk about more details about this din, of Kolban versus Maisa Behema, and finish off the perek and then start a new one tomorrow, Bez Hashem.
Shkoyach.